they did to themselves. Coming to you from Riverside, California, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. In podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. This right here is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today's Monday, so we'll read from one of the books of the law. We'll read Numbers 29 and 32. I'm calling today's episode, Balaam Gets His Due. The show notes page for today's episode is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E278. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let's get started. Numbers chapter 29.
And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year without blemish. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also, one kid of the goats is a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the 10th day of the seventh month you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You shall not do any work. You shall present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma, one young bull, one ram, and seven lambs in their first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also, one kid of the goats is a sin offering, besides the sin offering for atonement, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings. On the 15th day of the seventh month you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year. They shall be without blemish. Their grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the second day, present 12 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offerings. On the third day, present 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the fourth day, present 10 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the fifth day, present 9 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the sixth day, present 8 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the seventh day, present 7 bulls, 2 rams, and 14 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering, and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat is a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the eighth day, you shall have a sacred assembly. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. One bull, one ram, 7 lambs in their first year without blemish, and their grain offering and their drink offerings for the bull, for the ram, and for the lambs by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat is a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. These you shall present to the Lord at your appointed feasts, besides your vowed offerings and your free will offerings, as your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, as your drink offerings and your peace offerings. So Moses told the children of Israel everything, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Numbers chapter 30. Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the people of Israel, saying, "This is what the Lord has commanded. If a man vows a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. If a woman vows a vow to the Lord and binds herself by a pledge, while within her father's house in her youth, and her father hears of her vow and of her pledge by which she has bound herself, and says nothing to her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father opposes her on the day that he hears of it, no vow of hers, no pledge by which she has bound herself, shall stand, and the Lord will forgive her because her father opposed her. If she marries a husband, while under her vows or any thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she has bound herself, and her husband hears of it and says nothing to her on the day that he hears, then her vows shall stand, and her pledges by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if, on the day that her husband comes to hear of it, he opposes her, then he makes void her vow that was on her and the thoughtless utterance of her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will forgive her. But any vow of a widow or of a divorced woman, anything by which she has bound herself, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house or bound herself by a pledge with an oath, and her husband heard of it and said nothing to her and did not oppose her, then all her vows shall stand, and every pledge by which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her husband makes them null and void on the day that he hears them, then whatever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning her pledge of herself shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will forgive her. Any vow and any binding oath to afflict herself, her husband may establish, or her husband may make void. But if her husband says nothing to her from day to day, then he establishes all her vows or all her pledges that are upon her. He has established them because he said nothing to her on the day that he heard of them. But if he makes them null and void after he has heard of them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes that the Lord commanded Moses about a man and his wife, and about a father and his daughter while she is in her youth within her father's house. Numbers chapter 31. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Pay back the Midianites for what they did to the Israelites. After that, you will die." So Moses said to the people, "Get some men ready for war. The Lord will use them to pay back the Midianites. Send to war 1,000 men from each of the tribes of Israel." So 12,000 men got ready for war, 1,000 men from each tribe. Moses sent those men to war. Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, was with them. He took with him the holy things and the trumpets for giving the alarm. They fought the Midianites as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they killed every Midianite man. Among those killed were Evi, Rekem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, who were the 5 kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, son of Beor, with a sword. The Israelites captured the Midianite women and children, and they took all their flocks, herds, and goods. They burned all the Midianite towns where they had settled and all their camps, but they took all the people and animals and goods. Then they brought the captives, the animals, and the goods back to Moses and Eleazar the priest and all the Israelites. Their camp was on the plains of Moab, near the Jordan River, across from Jericho. Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the people went outside the camp to meet them. Moses was angry with the army officers, the commanders over 1,000 men, and those over 100 men who had returned from war. He asked them, "Why did you let the women live?
They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and turned the Israelites from the Lord at Peor. Then a terrible sickness struck the Lord's people. Kill all the Midianite boys and kill all the Midianite women who have had sexual relations, but save for yourselves the girls who have not had sexual relations with a man. All you men who killed anyone or touched a dead body must stay outside the camp for 7 days. On the 3rd and 7th days, you and your captives must make yourselves clean. You must clean all your clothes and anything made of leather, goat hair, or wood. Then Eleazar the priest said to the soldiers who had gone to war, "These are the teachings that the Lord gave to Moses. Put any gold, silver, bronze, iron, tin, or lead, anything that will not burn, into the fire, and then it will be clean. But also purify those things with the cleansing water. Then they will be clean. If something cannot stand the fire, wash it with water. On the 7th day, wash your clothes, and you will be clean. After that, you may come into the camp." The Lord said to Moses, "You, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders of the family groups should take account of the goods, the men, and the animals that were taken. Then divide those possessions between the soldiers who went to war and the rest of the people. From the soldiers who went to war, take a tax for the Lord of 1 item out of every 500. This includes people, cattle, donkeys, or sheep. Take it from the soldier's half and give it to Eleazar the priest as the Lord's share. And from the people's half, take 1 item out of every 50. This includes people, cattle, donkeys, sheep, or other animals. Give that to the Levites, who take care of the Lord's holy tent." So Moses and Eleazar did as the Lord commanded Moses. There remained from what the soldiers had taken 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 32,000 women who had not had sexual relations with a man. The soldiers who went to war got 337,000 sheep, and they gave 675 of them to the Lord. They got 36,000 cattle, and they gave 72 of them to the Lord. They got 30,500 donkeys, and they gave 61 of them to the Lord. They got 16,000 people, and they gave 32 of them to the Lord. Moses gave the Lord's share to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord had commanded him. Moses separated the people's half from the soldiers' half. The people got 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 people. From the people's half, Moses took 1 item out of every 50 for the Lord. This included the animals and the people. Then he gave them to the Levites, who took care of the Lord's holy tent. This was what the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the officers of the army, the commanders of 1,000 men and commanders of 100 men, came to Moses. They told Moses, "We, your servants, have counted our soldiers under our command, and not one of them is missing. So we have brought the Lord a gift of the gold things that each of us found: armbands, bracelets, signet rings, earrings, and necklaces. These are to remove our sins so that we will belong to the Lord." So Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold from them, which had been made into all kinds of objects. The commanders of 1,000 men and the commanders of 100 men gave the Lord the gold, and all of it together weighed about 420 pounds. Each soldier had taken something for himself. Moses and Eleazar the priest took the gold from the commanders of 1,000 men and the commanders of 100 men. Then they put it in the tent of meeting as a memorial before the Lord for the people of Israel. Numbers chapter 32. The tribes of Reuben and Gad had many cattle. These people looked at the land near Jazer and Gilead. They saw that this land was good for their cattle. So the people from the tribes of Reuben and Gad came to Moses. They spoke to Moses, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders of the people. They said, "We, your servants, have many cattle, and the land that the Lord let the people of Israel capture is good land for cattle. This land includes the area around Ataroth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimra, Heshbon, Eleala, Sibma, Nebo, and Beon. If it pleases you, we would like this land to be given to us. Don't take us to the other side of the Jordan River." Moses told the people from the tribes of Reuben and Gad, "Will you let your brothers go and fight while you settle here? Why are you trying to discourage the Israelites? You will make them not want to cross the river and take the land that the Lord has given to them. Your fathers did the same thing to me. In Kadesh Barnea, I sent spies to look at the land. These men went as far as Eshcol Valley. They saw the land, and they discouraged the Israelites. These men made the Israelites not want to go into the land that the Lord had given to them. The Lord became very angry with the people. He made this promise: none of the people who came from Egypt and are 20 years old or older will be allowed to see this land. I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I promised to give this land to these people, but they did not really follow me. Only Caleb, son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, really follow the Lord. The Lord was very angry with the Israelites, so he made the people stay in the desert for 40 years. He made them stay there until all the people who had sinned against the Lord were dead. And now you're doing the same thing that your fathers did. You sinful people, do you want the Lord to be even more angry with this people? If you stop following the Lord, he will make Israel stay even longer in the desert. Then you will destroy all these people. But the people from the tribes of Reuben and Gad went to Moses. They said, "We will build cities for our children and barns for our animals here. Then our children can be safe from the other people who live in this land. But we will gladly come and help the other Israelites. We will bring them to their land. We will not come back home until everyone in Israel has taken his part of the land. We will not take any of the land west of the Jordan River. No, our part of the land is east of the Jordan River." So Moses told them, "If you do all these things, this land will belong to you. But your soldiers must go before the Lord into battle. Your soldiers must cross the Jordan River and be ready to fight for the Lord until he forces the enemy to leave. After the Lord helps us all take the land, you can go back home. Then the Lord and Israel will not think that you are guilty, and the Lord will let you have this land. But if you don't do these things, you will be sinning against the Lord. And know for sure that you will be punished for your sin. Build cities for your children and barns for your animals, but then you must do what you promised." Then the people from the tribes of Gad and Reuben said to Moses, "We are your servants. You are our master, so we will do what you say. Our wives, children, and all our animals will stay in the cities of Gilead. But we, your servants, will cross the Jordan River. We will march before the Lord into battle, as our master says." So Moses, Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and all the leaders of the tribes of Israel heard them make that promise. Moses said to them, "The people of Gad and Reuben will cross the Jordan River. They will march before the Lord into battle. They will help you take the land, and you will give the land of Gilead as their part of the country. But if they do not cross the river with you, ready to fight, they will not get any land on this side. They will get only a share of the land of Canaan with the rest of you." The people of Gad and Reuben answered, "We promise to do what the Lord commanded. We will cross the Jordan River and march before the Lord into the land of Canaan. And our part of the country is the land east of the Jordan River." So Moses gave that land to the people of Gad, to the people of Reuben, and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was Joseph's son. That land included the kingdom of Sihon the Amorite and the kingdom of King Og of Bashan and all the cities around that area. The people of Gad built the cities of Dibon, Ataroth, Aroer, Atroth-Shofan, Jazer, Jogbaha, Beth-Nimrah, and Beth-Haran. They built cities with strong walls, and they built barns for their animals. The people of Reuben built Heshbon, Eleilah, Kiriathaim, Nebo, Baal-Meon, and Sibmah. They used the names of the cities that they rebuilt, but they changed the names of Nebo and Baal-Meon. People from Machir's family went to Gilead. Machir was Manasseh's son. They defeated the city. They defeated the Amorites who lived there. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir for the tribe of Manasseh, and his family settled there. Jair from the family of Manasseh defeated the small towns there. Then he called them towns of Jair. Noba defeated Kenath and the small towns near it. Then they called that place by its own name. Today, beloved, I've got comments on chapters 29 and 31. Last week in chapter 28 and today in 29, we learned about the offerings that the Lord told Moses the children of Israel were to make during the year. There was, number one, the daily offerings. Number two, Sabbath offerings. Number three, monthly offerings. Number four, Passover offerings.
Number 5, Feast of Weeks offerings. Number 6, Feast of Trumpets offerings. Number 7, Day of Atonement offerings. And number 8, the Feast of the Tabernacles offerings. Now, in order for Israel to fulfill these offerings every year, the priests sacrificed 113 bulls, 32 rams, over 2,000 pounds of flour, about 1,000 bottles of oil and wine, and 1,086 lambs without blemish. And these totals do not include the sacrifices made by individuals or households. Now, since these sacrifices were to be made every year, we know that they were inadequate to forgive sin. This was a perpetual, ongoing demonstration of the need for the one who would bring forgiveness. Of course, that one is Jesus. Now, notice the number of lambs without blemish. 1,086. That's an awful lot of offerings, right? The number of bulls, 113, pales in comparison. But these pointed to the coming Messiah. In John 1:29, Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only Jesus could accomplish this. His one sacrifice was sufficient to bring forgiveness to anyone who would put their faith in him. Jesus said in John 3:16 through 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Hallelujah. Now let's talk a little bit about chapter 31. In Numbers 22, Balak, the king of Moab, sent a contingent made up of elders of Moab and elders of Midian to Balaam to bring him to meet with Balak so that he could ask Balaam to put a curse on the children of Israel so that he could defeat him. You remember that, I'm sure. That was our B's chapter. Now, in their meeting, Balak offered Balaam a large reward if he would curse them. Of course, God wouldn't allow it, so Balak told Balaam that he would not get the reward. Of course, I'm cutting it way, way down. But hang on to that thought. Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel so that Balak could defeat them, and God wouldn't allow it. But what God would not allow the Moabites and Midianites to do to the children of Israel, they did to themselves. In Numbers 25, we read that the Israelite people were seduced into sexual sin with the women of Moab, and they, the Israelites, worshipped false gods with the Midianite women. And of course, God became very angry with the people of Israel, and he brought judgment against them in the form of a plague. And it was only when Phinehas, out of righteous anger, killed one of the Israelite men and the Midianite woman he was with, that God stopped the plague. Now, here in chapter 31, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Pay back the Midianites for what they did to the Israelites." So in chapter 25, God brought judgment on Israel for their guilt. But after that, here in 31, God brought judgment on the Midianites for their guilt. And remember Balaam? In Revelation 2:14, Jesus said to the church in Pergamum, "There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality." So, it was Balaam who was responsible for the idea that nearly brought ruin to Israel. It was Balaam's idea. He's the one that told the people of Midian and Moab to get the Israelites to commit this immorality with the women and to worship the false idols. Now, after he did this, Balaam presumably finally did get his reward from Balak. But here in chapter 31, verse 8, we read that he was killed along with every Midianite man. Well, after the battle, the Israelite men brought back the plunder and the spoils from the battle. And Moses became angry because they brought back the women and children with the other spoils of war. Why did he become angry? What harm could come from women and children? Well, some of these women were part of the immorality that the Israelites had become involved in. Allowing these women to live among them was to invite further disaster. So Moses said that all the women who had been with a man must be killed, but those who had not been with a man, and thus who did not participate in that immorality, could be spared. And what about the boys? In this culture, the male children would have grown up with the responsibility to take revenge on Israel for killing their fathers and also to keep the Midianite culture alive. So this is why Moses had all the male children killed. Well, what do you think about all of this stuff? You have a comment? Let me know at lifespringmedia.com/S12E278. Tomorrow is History Tuesday, and we'll read 2 Chronicles 11 through 15.
Boost.
On this date in church history, June 6th, 1844, in London, a young merchant by the name of George Williams and 12 co-workers established the Young Men's Christian Association, or the YMCA. It was organized to combat unhealthy conditions arising from the Industrial Revolution, and its purpose was to improve the spiritual condition of young men engaged in drapery and other trades. And on this date in church history, June 6th, 1915, William H. Cummings died. He was an English chorister and composer, and he arranged the hymn tune Mendelssohn, otherwise known as Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now see, I thought that was a much older song than that. Brother Paul of Seattle came in today with his monthly $20 donation. So combined with his weekly $22.22 donation, he is, in addition to being a LifeSpring family Berean, he's a distinguished producer. Brother Paul of Seattle, thank you and God bless you. And this morning I got a comment on the Hebrews 5-7, A Clean Slate episode. This comes in from someone by the name of Leanne. Does that sound familiar? She said, how beautiful to know that no matter how badly we mess up, whether it be in the past or just not trusting God like we should, God still loves us and gives us grace. Thanks be to God. Yes, amen to that. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. And thank you, Leanne. Oh, is this the lovely lady Leanne? Thank you, sweetheart, for your comment. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. And we ask you to make us aware if we try to keep something in our life that could draw us back into sin. Help us to root it out and to put it away from us. Lord, we want to live lives that are pleasing to you so that nothing can hinder a close, sweet relationship with you. Father, I ask that you bless the LifeSpring family today. Give us all, Lord, an abiding thirst to know you better. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a prayer request or a praise, please do go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E278. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Thanks to Kirsty, Sean of San Pedro, and Denise for everything you do. I thank you, and I thank God for you every day. Thanks to Brother Paul of Seattle for your faithful support of the show. Thank you for sharing your most precious commodity, your time. And support the show, if you would please, at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.